Welcome to Side Hustle City, and thanks for joining us. Our goal is to help you connect to real people who found success turning their side hustle into a main hustle, and we hope you can too. I'm Adam Kaler. I'm joined by Kyle Stevie, my co-host. Let's get started. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Side Hustle City podcast. Guys, we're talking crypto today with our buddy JB from Cryotech. JB, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Visiting us from across the pond today, Warwickshire, England. How do you like it there?
I'm from around ends anyway. I'm actually from Birmingham. I'm technically a Peaky Blinder. I grew up on a estate in Birmingham during the 1980s and the poll tax riots and freeing the Birmingham Six. And then I moved to Nuneaton, which is a village, it's now got a population of over 100,000. Nuneaton, which is between Coventry and Leicester. I moved to London when I was 22, lived there for about 16 years. Yay. Met the mother of my children. Had four amazing children, three of whom who live with me. Yay! And my fourth youngest, Cal-El, who is living with his mother, but hopefully at some point, sometime soon, I will actually get to see at some point. Long story, but typical black guy stuff, baby mama problems, blah, 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 zoo. There is a reason why some stereotypes are true, yeah? After living in London for so long, I've done all kinds of jobs. I've been a product manager of one of the world's biggest corporate law practices, which is Freshfields Brookhouse Derringer. I've been a senior lecturer of computer science at my old alma mater, Ravensbourne University, London. Yes, I have been a building site laborer. I have been a triple STS site safety supervisor. I have been a bouncer, security guard, father of four children. I've traveled around most of Europe. And while doing all of that, yeah, I discovered lots of interesting things and met lots of amazing and interesting people along the way. But yeah, my background is so different to most of the other CEOs I meet in this space that you visibly see, because there is no silver spoon here, man.
hey, right here, man. I mean, I grew up in a not so great area in America, and the not so great areas in America are probably mind-blowingly not great to Europeans. It was funny. I went to I was in Naples, and Naples, Italy, is kind of, I guess, thought of by most Europeans as a relatively dangerous place for most people, right? Yeah, and I looked up the crime rate versus where I'm from, like the city of Cincinnati here. The violent crime rate here is five times worse than Naples. And that's the whole city. That's not just like the part I'm from, which is the worst and one of the worst.
Are you running it past Coventry or Birmingham? And I bet you get different stats.
Oh, maybe. Or there's some places in Scotland that are a bit shady, but...
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, this place is in London a bit shady. I mean, I lived in London for 16 years.
Oh, yeah.
What can I say about London? Yes, London is a great place not to live in whatsoever. Don't live there. It's horrible. I mean, it's too expensive. Actually, they made the rest of it
crazy expensive. Oh, it's nuts. My wife and I, we've threatened to move to Oxford and maybe me get my MBA there just because she's of British and Scottish descent. She sounds a lot like you. She bounces around a lot of industries and everything. Maybe it's like a British thing. I don't know. But
person who's got a modicum of ambition and doesn't want to be told what to do. That's what it is.
Hey, I'm right there with you. Have you ever done your Myers-Briggs? Are you the commander? Is that what you were?
I am ENFJA. I'm the protagonist.
Oh, okay. I got a buddy who's that. Yeah, okay. So I know who I'm talking to now. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
We're quite rare. We always get into trouble.
Yeah. I would say so. Well, it's cool because, like, I mean, you know, you're an entrepreneurial type. You've got you're buying businesses. You're in the crypto space, which is very fast moving. You're a technologist. In order to be in this space in the first place, you have to be a forecaster of what's coming next. Where is the need going to be? And that just, you know, reading your profile, it just seems like that's you in a nutshell.
Well, I mean, a couple of my stakeholders were going through some of my old hard drives. And we came to the realization that I actually pitched as a PhD project to the University of Kent back in 2011, what could only be described as Midjourney before Midjourney was a thing. I mean, I was developing AI stuff back, and concepts back in 2011, 2012, and my professors were calling me a nutcase because they were saying, oh, there's no point. Computer vision isn't a thing. Who cares about this? You're insane, man. You're insane. What are you thinking about? And roll the clock forwards. Here we are. And all those mofos are making money off of it. Not that there's, I'm trying to say there's anything cynical about it. I'm just saying. You'll often find those who call you a madman generally end up making money off of the thing that you were peddling initially, if you know what I'm saying.
There you go. Yep, it's true.
Encryption. I started building Vox Messenger back in 2017, back when everybody believed in WhatsApp and believed in Signal. And everybody was like, we only need Western paradigms all owned by the same four white guys. We don't need anything else. And only terrorists and pornographers need end-to-end encryption, JB. We don't need it. I kind of, bear in mind, I was hearing this when I was in Y Combinator, because I'm a Y Combinator startup school alum. And I was hearing they're like, yo, there's no point. You should be doing trend analysis and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, right. So why am I bothering to build a product for the now when I should be looking at what's coming up next? And I knew certain things were coming. I watched the market. I don't just watch the market. I also watch socioeconomics. I watched the political shifts in the world around me see what's happening. And I saw very quickly that either Brexit was going to break us or we were going to have some kind of black swan event, either another market crash. I did not predict a pandemic that was going to create a necessity for people to be at home. And that's exactly what happened. That's when, of course, we realized that Zoom had been lying to all of its shareholders about being end-to-end encrypted for the last 5 years. And then they were like, oh, we're sorry, we'll fix it now, but you're going to pay us for it. And then the EFF steamed in, we're like, no, you're not. And that got fixed. But basically, Vox Messenger was started off back in 2017 and has just been running organically since then. Because I would say my advice for anybody who wants to be an entrepreneur or definitely an innovator is do not look at trends. Don't look at a trend map. Don't look at a Gartner report on markets, trends and incoming stuff like that. Actually, look at the technology. Look at real problems. The problem I was trying to solve with Vox Messenger is how do we create a platform that people can actually trust again is not linked to the kinds of people that would do a Cambridge Analytica. You know, is not linked to the same kinds of people who, when you look at their backgrounds, you see they have a long history of trading ethics for financial gain. This is the reason why at Cryotech, we actually have a manifesto. You know, we have certain guiding pillars of operation. We have privacy before profit. We have humanity before profit, ecology before profit, ethical artificial intelligence. We have a pathway to type 2 civilization. Everything that we build in all of my companies is leading towards what? Products that will generate revenue that can then eventually be given back to the consumer as a form of universal basic income, which of course leads to happier consumers buying more stuff. I mean, it's basic math to us. The negentropic form of consumer capitalism that most of the other businesses are operating under, where they just exploit your data in exchange for, oh, I know, accessing a platform that literally gives you mental health issues. Not talking about you, Facebook and Instagram.
We know what's going on there.
You know, bear in mind, there's been a ton of research. Which was the company whose own research group said, yes, this platform is actually increasing the suicide rates in teenage girls? It was Instagram, who's owned by, the same groups of people who gave us Cambridge Analytica, the results of which was felt in the 2018 election, both in the United Kingdom and the United States. Let's not get it twisted. Both elections were interfered with using the ability to manipulate public perception and mainstream media systems, utilizing the data collected by virtue of Cambridge Analytica.
That's right.
People understanding why, the reason being was that the data handed over to Cambridge Analytica allowed people to build profiles of individuals they could directly target for the most manipulative messaging. And it had an effect on Brexit as well here in the United Kingdom.
Oh, 100%. I'm sure that was a big factor in that. But I mean, this is no secret. Like, people know that these companies, I mean, they have teams of people trying to create more stickiness in their platforms. And it wasn't just the social media platforms. It's online retailers. Amazon was a pioneer in this. How do we get you to buy more stuff?
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favourite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
Sorry, the people who pioneered it properly first was Microsoft. Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah, there you go.
Microsoft under Bill Gates was most literally the picture-perfect example of consumer capitalism on absolute crack. Literally, they had market domination, market manipulation, a war chest that was bigger than God itself. They could do anything they wanted until the EU slapped them across the face and said, what the fuck are you doing? And made them split everything up and stop having to push Internet Explorer.
Well, our food in America is already shit, and now he's buying up all the farmland. So he's going to own our food here pretty soon.
Oh, believe me, Mr. Gates owns far more of you than you know.
Yeah, he does. He knows everything about me. Yeah.
Actually, it's not just that he knows, it's that he owns. Bear in mind, a number of the medical companies that he funds have spent outrageous amounts of money patenting individual genomes of the human genome. You know, so he owns a lot more of you than you think, Kimmy. But again, look at people's backgrounds. I mean, if you look at who's in charge of Microsoft now, Satya Nadella, my God, one of, if not the most sensible CEO in the current generation of personality CEOs that we are surrounded by. You know, he's not like Bezos, literally putting penis-shaped rockets up into the sky and building massive clocks in big penis-shaped mountains. Seriously, Bezos has got a problem, man. Or Elon Musk, who's literally just spunking money out of the atmosphere while ripping a hole in the atmosphere at the same time, saying, don't worry, guys, it's okay. We'll fix it with Dogecoin. You know, Satya Nadella is this super sensible CEO. But why is that? Well, look at Satya Nadella's history. Satya Nadella literally started right from the basement and worked their ass all the way up to the top of Microsoft. Satya Nadella is literally the classic story of working your way up. They worked from the post room, and now they are the CEO of one of the biggest, if not the biggest company in the world. This is the reason why when all this stuff kicked off with OpenAI and all of those test grill lunatics were eating each other alive, and we heard that Microsoft was going to take them on, I was kind of like, yes, sensible leadership in charge. I mean, yes, it's Microsoft. I know most people don't trust Microsoft, but out of a really bad bunch, Microsoft is probably about one of the most you can trust right now. I mean,
which is crazy. And even with AI, you know, now that they, you know, essentially own OpenAI, you know, you've got Bing tied into it and you've got all that. I mean, it's wild, but their stock's also ripping right now. I mean, you've got, and you know what's funny? Everything consolidates. You know, you don't have many people like you who are out here that have a purpose. A lot of startups that I talk to, these people, you know, they obviously want to get, either aqua hired or they want, you know, a big company to come in and buy them.
Man, I need to have a big exit, man. Gotta have the big exit. I mean,
the big exit, right? I mean, otherwise, you know, investors aren't going to get interested. So you have to have this vision for your exit or whatever. And you have you have a project where I think a lot of people in the crypto industry have more of this altruistic view of how business should work versus profit first, right? And it's very libertarian, I would say, very kind of, I wouldn't say it's necessarily political left or right. It's more of let's do things the right way for people. Yes. And politics don't necessarily matter because, I mean, as you know, left, right, they're all part of the same bird, right? It's all part of the same system. And really, we live in a society where, businesses actually run our countries. Businesses run Europe. Businesses run America. It's not our political system that we think it is. A lot of times it's kind of a facade. And, you know, the more money you raise as a politician, that's who tells you what comes out of your mouth.
Yep.
And they all go to the same parties. Let's be honest. It doesn't matter. You yell and argue with each other in the halls of Congress or the parliament, but you're all hanging out in the same places doing the same cocaine.
You're all eating out the same laps. You're all sucking the same cocks. Yeah, we know.
That's right.
It's the same coin. And if you trace all the money back to who's funding a lot of it, yes, it leads you into a place where you get very quickly cancelled for saying it. We know. You know, this is one of the things that's happening. But consumers are changing how they shop now. Consumers actually care about the ethics and the directionality of the people who are in charge of their tech. And they should. Look at how irresponsible these people have been with our tech. We have auto-driving cars, which are running off of computer models, which are based off of the same four basic computer vision data sets, which have virtually little to no diversity representation of them of any kind. And yet we're classifying these auto-driving vehicles as safe for everybody. The reality is that the majority of the world is actually very ethnically mixed and sits multiple shades on either side of my shade in the shade wheel. Yeah. So having a computer vision system that is built off of four data sets, which is predominantly white European or white American, means you're going to have a computer vision system that misrecognizes 90% of the population of the world. And yet this is what people are rocking with. We have CEOs deploying this crap all everywhere, left, right, and center. This is the reason why when I heard that Sam Altman was going to be potentially joining Microsoft, with Microsoft actively in control of him and his team, I was like, you know what? That's actually a good thing because, you know, Sam Altman is another personality CEO, is he not? Let's go to all of the country, the most ethnically diverse and the most impoverished countries in the world, and see if we can get them to trade their rest and their data for only $40 of crypto and a very wishy-washy, we promise you universal basic income somehow. I mean, at Crytek, we've actually mapped out how we're going to provide universal basic income. We, as part of our tokenized security, we have a mechanism in the smart contract which will automatically spin up a multi-signature wallet at midnight on the 5th of November, 2030. And it's basically 60% of the profits from these different applications and platforms are going into that wallet. That wallet will then automatically distribute a sliding scale percentage to every single person that is using any of our products. So all you will have to use to gain access to universal basic income is passing the on-chain KYC and AML and using one of our products. And that's it. And bear in mind, when I say one of my products, these are not going to be my products forever, because we already have it set in stone that once we get to billion-dollar valuations and stuff like that, I am being removed as CEO from each of my companies, and they will be replaced by autonomous AI mechanisms. The reason for this is because I'm not going to create another Mark Zuckerberg situation and Facebook where we have one person who owns a group of companies that owns 90% of your freaking life. It may be that some of the companies I created end up being in that position, but they will not be under the control of one person. In fact, it's highly likely, but by 2040, most of them will be under autonomous AI control with human oversight and guidance.
Technologies like blockchain are going to change a lot of things. For a long time, we talked about that being, you know, the next generation of the web. Web 3 was going to be built on blockchain, and you were going to have these distributed computer networks that were running these applications versus centralized systems. And you, as someone who's a cryptographer, understands the importance of distributed computing. You know, things like Filecoin instead of a Dropbox, right? Yeah. Makes a lot of sense to me. You know, there's systems out here. A lot of people probably listen to this, don't know what we're talking about, unless they're big fans of crypto and they're listening or big fans of blockchain tech in general. But we're starting to see some of the people that I talk to, political people, are pro blockchain. We've got a guy here from the west side of Cincinnati here, Warren Davidson, big blockchain guy. He's a congressman. We've got another guy, Bernie Moreno, running right now. He actually up in Cleveland created a conference called Blockland. I mean, there are people government now that are pro blockchain.
Yeah, they may be pro blockchain, but they're only interested in the financial components of blockchain. I interviewed a guy who's actually got a viable platform, which he's going to be testing in the United Kingdom, which would actually allow you to turn over voting to an open blockchain. If you combine, one of the biggest problems actually with running a blockchain voting system was actually identification, KYC and AML. Because if you look at most of the KYC and AML systems, which are currently running in blockchain, they're actually centralized systems that run on conventional centralized servers. They're bullshit. But we've got a partnership with Decryptify, and we're actually bringing to the market on-chain KYC AML. It even has tags in there. So if some a financial institution or authority checks your KYC, your encrypted KYC AML file, it'll actually flag up in-app that this check has occurred and who did so, which basically means you're in that sweet spot compromise between regulatory obedience and still maintaining your ability to control who has access to what. You see what I mean?
Imagine a government-controlled blockchain ID system where they could just shut off your ability to vote.
That's what they're doing here in the UK. They're already doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, because you said something that they didn't like.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
no. I mean, and you guys do. Yeah, I mean, we've got a tax on free speech happening in America. Oh, but you guys have it worse.
Here in the United Kingdom, just so your listeners are aware, even though we technically are not Nazi Germany, we no longer have the ability to protest. We no longer have a free journalistic press. We no longer have right to freedom of speech because it's been proven that depending on what if we post something on social media that the government does not like or is against their agenda, you will, as an individual, be arrested. This country, you guys think you got it bad in the United States? The stuff we tolerate here in the United Kingdom, every single person out with a gun would be out in the street shooting someone.
Yeah, they don't put up with that here.
You know, we were talking about exits. This is actually part of that. Everybody is looking for exits. And there's a reason why when you're trying to be an entrepreneur, everybody will tell you, look at trends, look at this, look at that, look at the other, because they want you not to actually create products that can create competitors to the current paradigm. There's a reason for that. Exactly like you said, corporations are more powerful than any government. And in the shit that is coming to us in 2024, the veneer of governments, I think, will be largely lost. Mm. So future conflicts will be fought by private armies and private corporations. We already see that.
And you're a big fan of sci-fi. You're a big Batman guy, But a lot of this stuff, it's crazy. Like when you watch Star Trek, like a lot of the stuff, if you really get deep into it, right, into the lore and everything else, into what happened in a world and how everybody kind of came peaceful. And, you know, it was technology that got everybody there. But I mean, the cell phone, I mean, there's a lot of things that you see on those shows that actually became reality,
Dude, it's even further than that. If you look at the world around us right now, actually, I want to bring us to a Star Trek world. Maybe not, it's crazy fascist, because let's not get twisted. Some of Star Trek and the Federation is actually quite fascist, if you think about it. A happy medium in between, maybe.
I like the replicator. If we ever get the replicator, we're in good shape.
We already have. We've got, it's called AI and a 3D printer. It's already here. And what I would actually say is the future we're heading for is probably closer to what was envisioned in Cyberpunk 2077, actually. What started off as the tabletop board game and what is actually now a massive game by CDG. The reason I say that is because if you look at the lore in Cyberpunk 2077, what the author and creator understood really well is where AI is headed if we treat it in a certain way. The concept of rogue AIs, the concept of proliferations of AIs, the concept of a future internet that is broken apart and literally destroyed by constant rogue AI creation, leading to the creation of a whole new internet, which then has an effect on our own augmentations. These are all realities which are coming to pass right here and now. If anything, we're steering, the more and more we adopt this quasi-fantastical, quasi-religious, mixed technology approach to the world around. And the reason I say religious is I'm not just talking about the world war in the Middle East. I'm actually talking about some of our CEOs here. We have got CEOs who are like in the terrestrial range of things. They're transhumanists, they're this, they're that, they're the other. And all of these different kinds of techno religions, which have been coming out of Silicon Valley, they all rely upon one, revolve around round central thesis, which is that there is a small group of us who are just innately better than the rest of us, who are innately empowered because of our intellect to take charge of others. And I remember correctly, there's another group of people who did this, and it involved eugenics. And it starts going down a whole pathway that is antithetical, actually, to the good of humanity. But the reality is that all of the CEOs around us, other than myself, and I believe Satya Nadella, they all have this.
They're the new Sanhedrin.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's terrifying because you do not want people who think this way having access to unlimited resources and money and influence and power, because it creates a dangerous, bear in mind, what happens when somebody becomes super rich? They become divorced from reality. Yeah, they become divorced from the reality that the majority experience. So
and you live in a bubble. You live in a physical bubble. Like the people you surround yourself with are no longer regular people. These are all people trying to live forever. Yeah. Like you've seen it. These are people that believe science, believe they can control nature. They're so arrogant. That, they do. They think they know what's best for the rest of us. And you saw that in the elections. You just brought that up. Oh, you can't say that because I know best and I'm going to manipulate the system so that this person gets elected because they're going to allow us to continue doing what we do.
I don't operate that way. I'm operating by a different thesis, which is that as soon as I'm able to break the door and barrier on a technological level or innovation level or societal level, I'll be bringing others with me. That's how you progress. That's how you advance humanity. You know?
Well, do you know that even in Germany, the kids in Germany in school learn about American propaganda and they've called America in their textbook. It says America is nothing but essentially drones that buy things and we are lonely and sad.
Well, unfortunately, Europe knows about consumer capitalism of Freud and Barnes, and they know the textbook the United States operates off of. And the United States, and if you've studied Freud and Barnes, and you know the recipe for consumer capitalism, what does it create? Consuming drones. It literally does. And I love the hypocrisy of Europe, because Europe has exactly the same thing. You know, it's no different in any shape or form. There's a reason why Europe is the 51st state, you know.
It's true. And what the funny thing is, though, even in America, I mean, we definitely live in a bubble here. I mean, this entire country was created to not partake in the problems of Europe. That's why they came here and they cut themselves off until World War One. We wanted nothing to do with Europe. We were minding our own business. We were over here doing our thing. And the goal of America was to not even worry about what was going on in Europe. Right. That was the thing. But if you think about it, you would assume that some of these more democratic technologies that you're talking about, that you're actually building, you would think those things, as an American, I would think, oh, that's going to come out of America. That next thing's going to come. No, it won't, because we're not dealing with the same anti-free speech issues, anti-protesting issues that you guys are dealing with in places like England, which is supposed to be this place where freedom is a thing too, and democracy is a thing. But you don't, right? No wonder you're creating the technologies that you're creating, because you're dealing with it in a worse way than we are.
Yeah, it's a necessity. We have no choice here in UK and Europe to start building systems that take us away from the mainstream paradigm. But there's also another component, which is that the world is shifting. In the United States, for example, you guys have a sanctions list that actually stops a business from working with 70% of the world in some capacity or another, itself in the 20th century is absolutely batshit loony when you have the internet, unified currencies, and cryptocurrency. You know, given that we're living in a world that is more digitally connected. In fact, the thing that is stopping humanity from truly connecting with each other is actually just the egos of the 1% of each of these individual countries to some extent.
Well, that's why they hate crypto. That's why they hate Bitcoin. That's why they love the US dollar. They can control other countries.
The US dollar right here and now, if you look at the financial market, is toxic. It's classified as cancer. I mean, if you look at dollar debt, look at the countries selling off the dollar debt. Nobody wants it because it's losing its intrinsic value. The minute the United Kingdom and the United States both moved away from the gold standard in 2002 was the minute that both of our currencies lost any true fucking value. The United States
90% of their value or something since like the 20s or something. And I mean, it's nuts.
You guys are about to print $8 trillion. What the fuck is that pinned to?
And people don't understand why we have recession or why we have inflation.
Yeah.
You just devalued your currency. If you want to destroy the value of your currency, give it away for free.
Here's a kicker for all Americans, the same as, and for all Britons, really. If you want to maintain control of a populace, you need to maintain a hierarchy, because without there being a visible hierarchy, there is nothing to make the peasants to want to aspire to something. You need the peasants or us median humans to want to aspire to something, be it gold, be it cars, be it bitches and hoes, being a hip hop star. Because without those aspirations, people do not have hope. And if people don't have hope, no matter how minuscule, you cannot treat them like slaves, because without hope, they die off quicker. They're less productive. You know, they've suddenly started looking around and they start looking at the person who's whipping them excessively and start saying, what the fuck and why? The distraction is gone. So yeah. Instead, you create a society where people become mindless drones who consume, and aspire to truly vacuous, empty things. If you
people are waking up. People are waking up, and I think the internet is helping. I think when you have communities where people can openly communicate without their, you know, without their profile getting shut down by, you know, the powers that be, I think people will talk about things and people will discuss things, and there's going to be arguments and there's going to be disagreements. But I think at the end of the day, that is good. I think free speech is good. I think, you know, being able to say stupid things and getting shot down and dragged for saying stupid things is going to be a good thing, right?
So the problem is, though, is if it literally leads to you being shot and dragged.
Yeah. You don't want that. You don't want that.
Freedom of speech is beautiful, but it's not freedom of consequence. And that's what people forget.
That's it.
Freedom of speech, yes, is a good thing, but freedom of speech is not a license to be an asshole. And that's what we have a lot of. We have a lot of people who will claim freedom of speech to say something really dickish and reprehensible, and then to get away with it, be like, oh my God, there's some characteristic about me that you're now going to use against me, and I can use that as my get out of free jail card. Yay! You know, I mean,
because people don't get punched in the face because they're on the other side of the internet, right? And they're an anonymous profile on Twitter.
We should actually have a little more mutual respect. We should temper. I would actually disagree with the whole unilateral freedom of speech. Actually, in a society to operate and for a polite society to operate, people should actually temper some of the things they say to each other. We need to stop trying to look for drama. We need to stop looking for this.
Oh, they are. Oh, yeah. They are definitely looking for drama, and they love it. And I think our system, I think what social media did to humanity can be undone. I think that we were trained to be dicks. I think people have the capacity to be dicks, but you just gave them a platform to be dicks, right? And I think we have to untrain that somehow. It unfortunately it falls on these social media companies, and they have no incentive to do so. To help us or do anything.
I've actually got a social media platform, and it's called Vox Alive. It's basically my version of Facebook, but without horrible ads, and you own all your own data, and you can actually monetize it. It's got integrated AI, and you can even have the AI run your posting for you on your social network, on your platform. We're going to be creating AIs that can effectively act as mediators. So if there is a post that's creating a shit ton of inflammatory responses, this AI will be able to come in and go and try to explain the argument from both sides for people. Which means, hopefully, and it will also point out to people that in any discussion, the reality is a compromise has to be achieved. A compromise is where neither party is particularly happy, but they're less unhappy than if they would be if one person was massively unhappy. And you start teaching the people, you know, I'm not saying that you would actually take people away from the internet. What we're going to do is we're going to help to teach people better coping mechanisms for dealing with true freedom of speech. You know, you have to be able to take it on the chin if somebody calls you a dick. And just because you're living in a state that has an open carry law doesn't mean you just go straight away. Ha ha, bang, 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 bang.
But yeah, you got to be responsible with your rights is what, you know, especially, you know, guns, you're going to kill somebody. Some speech could lead to actual violence. And that is a fact. Now, what would you say to people who are other entrepreneurs? Now, I feel like you have to somewhat be a crazy person to be an entrepreneur in the first place. You have to be someone who really wants to change things or do something and be passionate about it enough to see it through. It when you're taking your journey, starting multiple companies, working in the blockchain world, coming from all this other stuff. Yeah, that's one solution.
It's part of my answer to your question, but carry on. Yes.
Yeah. Because sometimes you have to get yourself back to calm yourself, because you could go in so many different directions when you're an entrepreneur if you're not focused, right? I mean, you it could get crazy.
I would actually say the biggest problem you have with being an entrepreneur is that you're going to have a lot of people attacking you on your ideas. And if I hate to use this common term, snowflake, but if you're somebody that is not great at dealing with conflict and is not great at standing up and saying, you know what, I think you're a bunch of fucking idiots and my idea rocks and I'm still going with it. If you haven't got the tenacity to keep doing that, and I mean keep doing it sometimes every bloody day and sometimes every minute of every day. I mean, I'll give you a situation, I'll give you the scenario. I started building Vox Crypto Vox Messenger, the post-quantum video, the world's first post-quantum encrypted video messenger, actually, to hit the market. I started building that in 2017 and had released in 2018 in a period when people still trusted WhatsApp and Signal. Humans communicate better in privacy. It's proven that when you have oversight of a human, when you make them feel watched, when you make them feel monitored, it makes them feel degraded and humiliated. Prisoners, you make a person feel observed and watched. I was being told continuously that what I was believing in and what I was building was a pointless waste of time, and I was this, that, and the other. And if I had listened to any of that, I wouldn't have a platform with over 80,000 users on it. I wouldn't have acquired a competitor company. I wouldn't be about to be forming a group company. I wouldn't be doing a massive raise, or we're going to be raising about $10, $20 million on a $50 million valuation. Just a guy from a council estate in Birmingham. When we're at school, you see, I was really lucky. Even though I was born in a council state, I know I was homeschooled, I actually believe that gave me a massive advantage over my peers.
Oh, yeah.
Go through the British school.
You can get indoctrinated.
Yes. Yeah. It's great. I mean, I was a senior lecturer of computer science at my old alma mater, Ravensbourne University, London. And when I was dealing with university students, I was comparing them to me as a university student. Now, as a university student, most of my teachers hated me because I was so much into my research. I was ahead of whatever they were giving me. But when I had the students that were coming to me, I was finding out that they didn't even have the self-initiation to work out when to do a Google search. So neutered by the school, you know, by the schooling system. I'd say to them, cool, I need you to research this, this, and this. Now, for me, growing up, that would have been, I could do that kind of research task by the time I was 6 and 7. But these are 18-year-olds and 21-year-olds and 22-year-olds who are like looking at each other and going, sir, so where do we look for this? And I'm looking, I'm like, I've just seen you play on your phone for half an hour. You didn't know there was a thing called Google? And by the way, I'm a very unconventional teacher. I actually, in the middle of a class, said, are you effing kidding me? And I went on a 10-minute tirade about, luckily enough, this was actually one of the kids told one of their parents, and the parents actually said, yeah, he's bloody right. Why don't you know how to use this? Get off TikTok. This generation I really fear.
Their whole thing is their online persona.
Yes, but their online persona is a lie.
It is. It's 100% a lie. And I think some people, and I had a friend, just tell you a story. You know, we'd go out to nightclubs and stuff like that, and he would just make up stories to tell girls. Well, he was successful off his stories. So he never really had to change his life, right? Because the stories were getting him what he wanted. But that's just an example. That also applies to these online personas, right? The online persona is now, you know, somebody at the nightclub telling you the things you want to hear.
Yep.
And I actually said to him one time, I said, dude, why you lie to these girls? And he's like, cause that's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear that I'm a plumber. You know, they don't want to hear that that's what I do for a living. They want to hear that I'm an executive and I fly on jets and I, you know, drive a nice car and all this other stuff. That's what they want to hear. And I think that's what we're missing in a lot of these kids. And I think they're missing authentic relationships because they have these online personas. I mean, look at LinkedIn. How many people are a CEO on LinkedIn, right? Like how many people are, you know, they can put it out there and they can seem important, you know, but I think that we are mixing our online lives, these virtual lives, with our personal lives and our reality, right? And I think as an entrepreneur, you have to be honest with yourself on how hard things are going to be. And you can't look at other people online and their success and think that that is your thing. That's how people get depressed. That's how, you know, issues start happening with people and they think that they're not doing good. Entrepreneurship's hard. It's hard. You're not going to make a ton of money right away. These 23-year-old people that say they're worth $40 million are lying to you. They're renting cars and taking pictures.
Paper, I'm worth like $60 million or something. It's mental when you look at it. But I'm like, dude, I've still got like a little three-bedroom house.
Oh, yeah.
Renovations on. I got a piece of shit 2014 Mitsubishi Shogun that I still drive, and it's got, I have bump hanging off. And even when I have my foot, have like a cash million, you know, this year alone into Crytek, I've brought in over £300,000 in cash into that company, and Dijin another 200,000. Yeah, it doesn't actually mean anything. It's just more money that goes quicker. That's it. You know, it's
more money, no problems. That's how it works.
Yeah. And I hate to say this, most of these kids who will get into the crypto space and are doing the pump and dumps, who are building these little scam projects, their objective, again, it's about what the state has and society has largely told them the indicators of success are. Having a Ferrari is an indicator of success. Having a Kim Kardashian lookalike is a sign of success, apparently. And because everybody is being taught that, they will keep following the quickest route to riches methodology. And the quickest route to riches is actually the quickest route to consistent poverty and depression in reality. Actually, if you keep chasing trends, you're not being, if you're chasing trends, the only person making the money is the trendsetter. So be a trendsetter. Don't be a trend follower.
Yeah. You're just buying their course, and that's how they're making money. It's not at whatever they told you. They tell you $200 million in real estate, maybe, but the bank owns $198 million of that $200 million in real estate. They don't own the real estate, or their investors own the real estate, right? They may have just done a syndication deal. They don't actually own all that stuff. So,
I know CEOs in companies who have spent years building their company up. And then because of chasing financing from VCs, they'll do crazy things like they'll give up a load of their equity, and this VC firm functionally becomes their employer. And they'll be like, yeah, but JB, you've got to understand, man, I got stability now. You know what I mean? I got like a regular wage coming in, but I'm still working for myself. You know what I mean? No, you're fucking not, dude. You're working for somebody else who's giving you back a bit of your own equity. So you're back working for the man. Whatever happened for working for yourself? You know, you've literally undone the thing you spent years doing.
That's right. But yeah, man, JB, this has been awesome, man. I really appreciate it. You've got so much energy. You've obviously been super successful. You've, you know, gone from, you know, working for people to owning multiple businesses, acquiring businesses, you know, being in at the cutting edge of technology, trying to change the world, man. And that's what we try to do out here when we build companies. So tell people how they can get a hold of you, or how they can find your business and what's the next thing.
Well, it's really easy. You can either type in JB Benjamin into Google. It's so unique. There's no other name like it on there. So that's a very quick one. Or just type in Crytek into Google. You'll find us. Alternatively, just search for Vox Messenger or Vox Crypto in the Google Play Store. We are going to be on iOS from next year. But again, iOS is a bit of a pain in the ass and extremely expensive to get onto, but we're on it. Yeah, it's one of those. You can also find me on Twitter. If you search for JBWB2020, you can regularly jump into a live stream, because I'm live streaming on my Twitter account all the time. And even though I'm the captain of personal privacy, because I'm a CEO, I fully realize that I now have no privacy, because for you to trust me, you need to know everything about me. So I also post regular links. I invite people to message me direct on Twitter. My phone number is out there. If you manage to get hold of that thing, feel free to message me on Vox Messenger. I will reply. You know, if you find it, I'll be like, yes, great. You earned this. You get this. You will be replied to. And with the live streams I do on Twitter, I'm often streaming a lot of jungle because I'll be working, but I do post a link so you can actually jump in the stream and feel free to ask me any question.
JB, man, keep that energy going, man. And I really appreciate you being on the show.
Oh, it's great being here, and it's been great having a chat with you all about it.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Side Hustle City. Well, you've heard from our guest. Now let's hear from you. Join our community on Facebook, Side Hustle City. It's a group where people share ideas, share their inspirational stories, and motivate each other to be successful and turn their side hustle into their main hustle. We'll see you there, and we'll see you next week on the show. Thank you.